You'll excuse me if we go through the verse somewhat quickly because the class has to end at 8:45 and we're beginning 15 minutes late. So we won't have so many chanters of the verse, if that's all right. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Punascha Bhuyad Bhagavatyanante. Rati Prasangascha Tarasreshu. Mahatsuyam Yam Upayami Shristam Shristim. Maitreyastu Savatra Namo Dvijevya. Maharaj, please summarize. Astu Savatra Namo Dvijevya. Any Matajis? Mataji like to chant? Astu Savatra Namo Dvijevya. Puna. Again. This is Maharaj Prakrit speaking after being cursed to die. We know, of course, that he went to the Ganga and he prepared himself for leaving this world. And he decided to fast until death so he had no distractions, so he could focus his mind on the greatest good. So when great sages heard that this great king and one who had been protected by the Lord himself, Vishwartha, had decided to fast until death, so many powerful, famous, exalted sages came from all over the world. And Maharaj Prakrit welcomed them all in such a way that they would be satisfied and he would get the benefit of their association and their blessing. So this is one of the prayers, or one of the slokas, some of the words that he spoke to welcome these great sages. So Puna. Again. Sha. End. Bhuyat. Let it be. So he's, in this verse, he's, let me just go back a little bit more and then this verse will be even clearer. The first words that he said to the sages was that I'm a king and kings are contaminated in the sense that they touch power and wealth to such an extent that sages want to be far from them. Why? Because there's always a tendency when one is in touch with wealth and power and great opulence to become attracted to that. So the sages, by virtue of their nishtha, by their fixedness, in their determination to reach the absolute truth, would not associate with these kings, because they were contaminated by all their dealings with the material world, and they wanted to be free from that. So Maharaj Prickett thought that it was special mercy that although he was a king, these great sages had surrounded him at the most important time of his life, the time when he was going to end his life, he was going to die. Saratat Bhava Bharata. So he expressed his thanks to them for coming to him at this most difficult time. And then he looked at his situation, and being a great devotee, he saw that he was cursed to die. But he was a great devotee, and this unfortunate occurrence had happened. And a common devotee, when something bad happens, their consciousness wavers, shakes. You know, maybe Krishna's not there. Maybe, why? How could he have done this? I'm a devotee. Something like that. Of course, that is pratikul, against our advancement, but this happens. But here Maharaj Prickett, after welcoming the sages, he says, this has happened to me, that I've been cursed by Krishna's mercy, because he saw that I was too attached to family life and he wanted to cut that. So that he saw, tateno kampam susamakshamano, he saw what happened to him, everything that happened, as Krishna's mercy, Krishna carrying him towards him, pulling him towards himself. So that's the second verse of his welcome. And then he said, in order to save me, such deep nishtha this Mahabhagavata king, Maharaj Prickett, had, that in order to save me from all this material attachment that means future rebirths, he came in the form, Krishna himself came in the form of the snake bird. He will come. So it is the snake bird externally, but it is Krishna actually. It is Krishna's mercy, Krishna being kind to me, that he's come in this form. So let the externals of my fate being given to me by Krishna, whatever it is, let it happen, let it come to me. Swaga pavaga narakeshu apitoyarta dasha. And I don't care about the externals. But he said to them, I only desire that you all continue singing the deeds of Lord Vishnu. Let my consciousness be absorbed in Krishna. And if you will do that, if you will pour the nectar of Krishna Katha in my ears, the externals of what is going on, whether it be a snake bird or a whatever, I don't care. This is what I care about. And please, he begged the sages, you have come. Please give me this benediction. And then in this verse, he speaks his heart about what his actual desire is. So, we'll start again. Puna, again. Cha, and. Bhuyat, let it be. So, Puna, if I am again to take birth again, let it be. I don't even care about that. Janmanishwade bhavantad bhaktira haituki toye. Same mood. So I don't care about liberation. Punascha bhuyat. And then he continues. Bhagavati anante. So Bhagavati means unto Lord Sri Krishna, anante, who has unlimited potency. Next word is rati. Rati, attracting. So this is what I want. Let me, my consciousness, even if I take birth again, let my consciousness, let me be attracted to the Supreme Lord, unto Him who is unlimited. What a meditation on the unlimited Supreme Lord who is unlimited in every way. His beauty, Sadaishwarya Puna. He's unlimitedly beautiful, unlimitedly kind, unlimitedly compassionate, strong, intelligent, renounced. What a meditation on Krishna. What does unlimited beauty mean? So Rati, this is what I want, and this is going to come through this Krishna Katha that I'm asking you to pour upon my ears, into my ears. But that's not all he's desiring. Next word, prasangas. And prasangas means, of course, association. But of course, with who? Cha, also. Tat, his, referring back to Bhagavati Ananta. I want association with his asreyeshu. Asreyeshu means those who are his devotees or those who have taken shelter of him. That is what I want. I want their association, those who have taken shelter of Krishna. Mahatsu, within the material creation. Yam yam, wherever. Upayami, I may take. Srishtim, my birth. So wherever I take my birth, in the material world, he's not even demanding or expecting to be freed from material existence, but wherever I want this. And there are three things that he wants wherever he is, and we've heard two of them. Wherever I am, yam yam upayanti srishtim, wherever I am in the material world, maitri, and maitri means friendship, friendly relations. Astu, let it be. Sarvatra, everywhere. So amongst sarvatra, all living entities, let me have no enmity, let me have, on the other hand, the positive, friendly relationships with them and be well-wishers of them. Nama, my obeisances. Vujibya, unto the Brahmins. This is who he was in front of. Here is Srila Prabhupada's translation. Again, offering obeisances unto all you Brahmins. I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna. Association with his devotees and friendly relations with all living beings. Please repeat. Again, offering obeisances unto all you Brahmanas. I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. And here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. Now, it's not a long purport, so I'm sure you'll easily be able to focus. And I have this habit, which I was planning on not evoking, but I think I will. I'm going to ask you, what do you remember? That most difficult of questions. What do you remember from what you've just heard of what Prabhupada has said? Because after all, if Srila Prabhupada would walk in here now, we'd all jump up and we'd have kirtan and we'd be so happy. And then we would offer him a place to sit. And what would we want? We'd want him to speak to us. And we'd want to hear the words emanating from his lotus mouth, which were... are coming from the spiritual world. So here is an opportunity to hear what Prabhupada wishes to tell us about this verse. So I'm going to ask you, what do you remember? After. Srila Prabhupada's purport. That a devotee of the Lord is the only perfect living being is explained herein by Maharaj Prickett. A devotee of the Lord is no one's enemy, although there may be many enemies of a devotee. A devotee of the Lord does not like to associate with non-devotees, although he has no enmity with them. He desires association with the devotees of the Lord. That is perfectly natural, because birds of the same feather mix together. And the most important function of a devotee is to have complete attachment to Lord Sri Krishna. I really would like to read that sentence again, but I won't. Okay, thank you. I was waiting for someone to object. The most important function of a devotee is to have complete attachment for Lord Sri Krishna, the father of all living beings. As a good son of the father behaves in a friendly way with all his other brothers, so also the devotees of the Lord, being a good son of the Supreme Father, Lord Krishna, sees all other living beings in relation with the Supreme Father. He tries to bring back the upstart sons of the Father to a saner stage and to get them to accept the Supreme Fatherhood of God. Maharaj Prickett was certainly going back to Godhead. But even if he were not to go back, he prayed for a pattern of life which is the most perfect way in the material world. A pure devotee does not desire the company of a personality as great as Brahma, but he prefers the association of a petty living being, provided he is a devotee of the Lord. Raise your hand if you remember something you'd like to say. All right. Thank you. Anyone else like to say something? Yes, Paul. He's not an enemy to anyone. Each of these, of course, could be a class in and of itself. Excuse me? He doesn't think of them as an enemy. What consciousness this is. The material world doesn't react with them, no matter where it's coming from. They're seeing Krishna, they've taken shelter of Krishna, so attached to Krishna. Yeah. The most important function. Interesting that Prabhupada used the word function. What does function mean? Activity? Purpose? Duty? This is its dharma, practically speaking. Like sugar's function is to provide sweetness. A devotee's function or dharma is to be attached to Krishna. Yes?
Have a perfect good son of the father,
As a good son of the Father, he behaves nicely to the brothers and brings them home also. Okay, last. Yes, thank you. And even if a non-devotee is as great as Lord Brahma, he prefers the association of a petty, little, insignificant living entity provided. Yes.
he works to bring the other upstart brothers who are playing back to the lotus feet.
The upstart brothers who have turned their back, Krishna Bhule Se Jeevan Nadiya Bahimukh, he works to bring them, and that's part of the function of his relationship as a devotee with an attachment to Krishna, the Supreme Father. Yes. There was something I wanted to say about this. And Om Ganesh Minandasya Janachana Salakaya Chaksusimaditam Janatasmai Sri Gavinama Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Statitam Janavitile Sayam Rupakadamayam Vedati Sapandantam Vansha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sanyavaya Chaya Patitanam And I just wanted to speak on that one sentence and of the devotee's function as being attached to Krishna. But there's something even more I wanted to say, how universal these principles or prayers of Maharaj Prickett are. And that's actually even more what I wanted to say. Does anyone remember the first one that he wanted? Complete attachment to the Lord. And the second one? Association of devotees. And the third one, friendly relationships with everyone and helping them. Now, in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, there is one pastime that will end in something. When I read it, I was quite amazed. But where to begin this pastime is the question with a little amount of time. And the pastime is when Akura took Krishna from Vrindavan and he arrived in Mathura. And Krishna, of course, Akura brought Krishna because he wanted to see Kamsa killed and he wanted to be with Krishna. He wanted to see Krishna. Now imagine how difficult the situation in Mathura was, that Kamsa was such a tyrant that no one from Mathura practically could go and see Krishna, even though they were always hearing about Krishna's deeds. So Kamsa was powerful and he was oppressive. And he was so bold that he even told Akura his plans to have Krishna killed. When he gave Akura, who was a Yadu after all, a relative of Krishna, he told Akura his plans to have Krishna killed by the wrestlers and Kuvalaya Pita and when he brought him to Mathura. And when Akura, who exhibited the perfect way to come to a holy place, so different from the way that we arrive in holy places nowadays, Akura was meditating on Krishna the whole time, and Krishna's going to be like this, and when I see him, he'll recognize me as his uncle, and he won't see me as an enemy, even though I'm acting on behalf of his enemy. And he's going to put his hand on my head. He was thinking about Krishna to such an extent as that when he saw the footprints of Krishna, Then he immediately became ecstatic in the, when he saw the footprints of Krishna and the dust of Braja. He became ecstatic and rolled in the dust of Vrindavan because his mind had arrived in Vrindavan even before he arrived in Vrindavan. And when we come by aeroplane, our body arrives in Vrindavan. Then a few days later, if we're lucky, our mind arrives in Vrindavan. And the way of walking to a place of pilgrimage, it is scientific because it allows one to meditate on the place before we arrive. And then when we arrive, we actually arrive and can get the benefit of being in that holy place. So Akura had brought Krishna, and one devotee asked me the question, and I didn't know the answer to it. And then he told me one answer that I've researched it a little bit, is why did it, Akura left so early in the morning, why did it take so long for him to arrive in Vrindavan? He didn't arrive in Mathura until basically late afternoon or almost the setting of the sun. So what took so long? So one thing our acharyas say that took so long was that when Akura saw in Akura Ghat, he saw the form of Krishna and Balaram as Gobadakshay Vishnu and Anantashesha. He was observing their opulences, and that bath that he took started at Dupare. It started at noon, but he didn't leave until a long time after that. And then when he came out of the water, his face, because he had just seen the form of Anantashesha, and he had seen Gobadakshay Vishnu. And when he came out of the water, and he had left Krishna and Balaram on the chariot, and when he came out of the water, he was astounded. He was full of wonder. And Krishna, of course, knowing what was astounding him, he said to him, "Oh, uncle, you look like you have seen something wonderful in the water. Is that why you are looking like that?" And Akura said to him, "Now that I'm seeing you, who is the source of everything wonderful in existence, including Lord Anantashesha, I'm seeing you in Balaram, I've seen the most, I'm seeing right now the most wonderful thing." He became so attached to Krishna by seeing the wonder of his form and getting a glimpse of his potencies. So that took a while. And then also, all the residents of Vrindavan heard that Krishna was leaving. And they were all on the road. And Krishna went very slowly. And he looked at everyone. He gave them, this is right in the Bhagavatam, he gave them his merciful glance. They were looking at him, because everyone, seeing Krishna, they cannot take their eyes off of him. His effulgence is sapphire-like. His smile, madhuram, 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 madhuram. It is unlimitedly sweet and captivating. His lotus eyes reached his ears and are reddish tinged. So all the residents of Vrindavan were on the roads of Vrindavan. And Krishna would glance at each and every one of them, and that made the moving of the chariot slow. And not only that, the third reason that I discovered was that Akura, on his mission to bring Krishna and Balaram, to have Kamsa killed, he didn't go in a direct way. He took all the back roads because he didn't want the residents of Vrindavan to follow him, because the residents of Vrindavan were so heartbroken because they could tolerate anything, but they could not tolerate even a moment's separation from Krishna. There is one comment by, I believe by Srila Jiva Goswami, Gopal Champu, that Mother Yashoda was, when the crow was taking Krishna on the chariot, she was so devastated. She was so devastated that Krishna felt so much sorrow in his heart that he sent her back. He sent back a messenger. Ayasya iti dodikai. He sent back many messengers to assure the residents of Vrindavan he's coming back. To Mother Yashoda, he sent a special message that, oh mother, I'm going to be so hungry on the way. Please send me some food immediately so I can eat during this travel. And that immediately engaged Mother Yashoda, and therefore she could continue living. So anyway, the residents of Vrindavan, the cowherd men, Nandamaraj and the other cowherd men, had arrived so much earlier because they took a direct path to Mathura and they were waiting outside. They wouldn't enter the city until Krishna came. And then Nandamaraj sent, they went to higher ground in Mathura just to look and wait for Krishna, just to see when his chariot was coming. And then, of course, Krishna came, and then Akura, of course, said, please, what else would he say? Come to my house. And Krishna said, there's some wonderful prayers. Akura was great at offering wonderful prayers to Krishna. He achieved perfection by offering prayers to Krishna. And the last of his prayers in this one, he called Krishna Yadu Uttama, and then Uttama Sloka and Punya Shravana Kirtanam. But he called him Yadu Uttama, which means the best of the Yadus. So Krishna, hearing that, told him, first I have to go and do my duty of killing Kamsa. And then he directly said that. Everyone was so fearful of Kamsa. But as we shall hear, Krishna wasn't fearful at all in the slightest bit, but rather Kamsa became completely full of anxiety when he began hearing of all the deeds that Krishna performed in Mathura. And then Krishna, after sending Akura away, who told Kamsa Krishna has arrived, and then Krishna and all the cowherd boys, they went wandering in Mathura, because they were village boys and this was their first visit to the city. And this was I heard His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj explain that point very sweetly. And then they began to walk in the city. And they saw the opulence of Mathura with its big gates and its gold and brass and the filigree, and every house was decorated in such an opulent way, and there were granaries and there was this and there was that. And then all the residents of Mathura heard that Krishna had entered their city. And everyone actually knew, the word got around this was the son of Vasudev. And although everyone was afraid of Kamsa, when Krishna walked through the city, everyone lost their fear. And the brahmanas came and they offered prayers. They sang Purusha Sukta and different prayers to Krishna. They made offerings to him of auspicious items, fresh water, barley, flower garlands, and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people, as Krishna was walking through the city, were following him. And the ladies of Mathura, they heard about Krishna. And they went up onto the roofs, and how they reacted to Krishna's appearance was so much like the Braja Gopikas. They couldn't dress themselves properly, even quite. It describes that the ladies who were feeding their newborn babies, the Bhagavatam describes, took them and just put them down and just ran to see Krishna. Their attraction to Krishna was so complete. There is no imitation allowed, by the way. no imitation in Krishna consciousness ever. And so interesting, when Krishna was leaving, the gopis were praying, how fortunate the residents of Mathura, especially the ladies of Mathura, are going to be, because soon they will be able to glance at the beautiful face of Krishna. And now their words were coming true. And what did the ladies of Mathura say? How fortunate were the Braja gopis, because they were seeing Krishna day after day after day. And then Krishna, because he was dressed, he wanted, because Krishna is, he's an expert dresser. This is one of the qualities of Krishna. So he was walking to the wrestling arena, and now he wasn't in the village. He was going to kill Kamsa. And he, by his arrangement, or divine arrangement, he wanted to be dressed exactly right for the occasion, because he wanted to attract everyone, because Krishna is all attractive. His presence, his personality is all attractive. Everything he does is attractive. So that one of the first people he saw was a servant of Kamsa, who was a Rajak, who was a washerman and a dyer of clothes. And Krishna, very sweetly, in the most polite language, Dehi, he called him Anga, said, give me, and very sweetly he spoke to him. Anga, a very endearing way of addressing him, said, please give me some of your clothes. So I can, just for myself and Balaram, even though all the cowherd boys were there too, just give me some clothes, very sweetly. And then, The washerman responded in such a harsh, heavy way. You know, what are you? You are just village boys, and you're used to wandering in the fields and wandering in the mountains, and you're asking for the king's clothes. And then he made a great mistake in the second verse of his chastisement of Krishna. He said, Balishu. He said, you fools, in plural. Because I always wondered, okay, he didn't give him the clothes, but that's quite an extreme reaction to cut off his head. But Srila Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami says, he said, Balishu, he said, fools, in plural. And Krishna was there with Balaram. And he became very angry. He cut off his head. But also Srila Jiva Goswami explains that Krishna spoke so sweetly to him because he was a demon. And he wanted him to exhibit his demonic nature before he... And he was a servant of Kamsa. And Kamsa had his parents in prison at that very moment. And this Rajak, he knew this. And yet he said, I am a servant of Kamsa, and you're daring to take something from the king. Are you a thief? And look what Kamsa had done. He had stolen the whole kingdom. And he had placed Krishna's own parents in prison. His demonic nature, because if you serve a demon, well, birds of a feather flock together, as Prabhupada said. So he was a demon, and that's why Krishna killed him. And then Krishna went on further, and he saw a weaver, and the weaver was a devotee. And he had not gone to Vrindavan to see Krishna, because of fear from Kamsa, but he was always thinking of Krishna and being a well-wisher of Krishna. And Krishna was happy to ask him to do some service. And the weaver made some beautiful clothes for Krishna out of the cloth. He fitted it just right for Krishna and Balaram out of the cloth that Krishna had just taken from the washerman. And Krishna benedicted him in such a wonderful way, and gave him a spirit. He gave him the spiritual world, his place in the spiritual world. So Krishna now was entering in Mathura Thousands of people were following him. He was beautifully dressed. And of course, what did he need next? A beautiful garland. Krishna loves to wear beautiful garlands. Madhava loves to wear beautiful garlands. Madhava is always wearing beautiful garlands. And then there was Srila Jiva Goswami explained something so sweetly that this florist, this Mali named Sudama, of course his name was Sudama, and that immediately evoked affection from Krishna. But one day when he was going to the Vrindavan forest to get some special flowers, he saw Krishna herding the cows, and he was so attracted that every day he would go there just to watch Krishna's pastimes, his gocharan, his pastimes of cow herding. They were so exciting. Krishna would call the cows. Anyway, so every day he would come, and he developed a friendly relationship with Krishna. And when Krishna was walking through Mathura, he, knowing everything and forgetting nothing, thought, here is the place where Sudama lives. I want to see him. So Krishna and Balaram walked into the Mali's house, and Sudama was ecstatic, of course. And then Krishna just looked, he glanced, because in Vrindavan, and everything is a little subtle and indirect. This is the culture, actually, the Vedic culture, the Indian culture, a little indirect. So Krishna just glanced at a flower garland that was still half made. And Sudama knew it. And Srila Jiva Goswami himself composes this beautiful verse that how fortunate Sudama was, because Krishna came to his house just to get some service from him, to offer service, being the greatest fortune, to offer service to Krishna. So Sudama, of course, ecstatically made the garland, and he gave Krishna and Balaram garlands, but he gave that special garland to Krishna. And then Krishna benedicted him. But before that, he asked Sudama what he wanted. And this is what I wanted to say. Amazingly enough, confronted directly, Krishna was right before him. Purikit Raj was leaving the world. But Krishna was right before Sudama. And when asked, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. This is what he said. Sopi vivre achalam bhaktim. I want achalam bhakti. I want devotional service that is completely fixed, not moving and shaking like mine tends to be, but completely affixed in attraction and attachment for this all-attractive, all-merciful, all-strong, Supreme Personality of Godhead who is standing right before him. And then tasmin eka akhilatmane, to that complete achala bhakti, to that Supreme Lord, the Supreme Self of everything, who's standing right in front of him. And then next he asks for tat bhakteshu, and to his devotees. I want the association and attachment to the devotees. Friendship with his devotees. Same 2 points. And guess what the third point is going to be that he's going to ask for? Soridam bhuteshu chadayam param. I want to have transcendental compassion for all living beings. So whether Krishna is in front of us Krishna, while we're leaving this world, what wonderful prayers these great, great personalities are offering to us to think about, to meditate upon, and to follow in their lotus footsteps. Well, I did it. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Actually, I'm completely empty, but so many devotees, seeing that I was empty, actually gave me so many blessings before the class that if anything good came, that it was really by their mercy.
Somebody told me the dhobi was the same dhobi in Lord Ramchandra's pastime who said to his wife, I'm not Lord Ram, that wife goes away and accepts her back. So Lord Ram didn't do anything then, but when he came as Krishna, he sorted him out.
He saw common traits. Also, I read something recently, I think it was in the Bhagavatam that talking about Lord Ram, there was some person who came to try to stop Hanuman from getting the medicine that would help Lakshmana, and that was Kalanemi, actually, who was Kamsa. Thank you. Any other questions or comments?